Thanks for joining for today's podcast. With me, I have Jillian Hubbard. She's an electrical apprentice from Connecticut. Welcome, Jillian. It's always a pleasure to meet another Jill. And now I met one in the trade, so that is super awesome. And we didn't even call ahead, but we actually are matching too.
Perfect. We are. That's amazing. We're both wearing white V-necks and we didn't even plan it.
No, we were channeling each other. That's pretty awesome. Awesome.
For sure.
Anyways, welcome to the podcast. Can we start by just getting you to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, thank you for having me to begin with. And I really appreciate also meeting another Jill in the trades. And I've only ever met one other Jill in the trades. And, you know, being on the job sites, you don't see many women in general anyways. So normally I am the only one over here. And I am based out of Connecticut in the U.S. But I happen to be on this job site and there was I thought I kept hearing my name but it wasn't any of my guys and I hadn't met anybody else yet. And so I thought I was just hearing things, but then I realized there was another girl and her name was also Jill and she was a plumber HVAC technician. So that was really cool. Perfect. So yeah, we're pretty awesome.
Yes. No, that's great.
Yeah. But a little bit about myself. My name's Jillian Hubbard. I am a mother of four children. age range from 12 to 5. I have been an electrical apprentice for quite a while in the sense of there was a serious time gap between my apprenticeship. I knew that I wanted to be an electrician from the time that I was 13 and I was introduced to the trades in high school. That's when I had started as my freshman year of high school. Over here in Connecticut, we have technical high schools and you do 2 weeks of trade and then you go to 2 weeks of academics and you keep rotating that for 4 years. And so coming out of high school, not only did I get a diploma for my high school diploma, but I also had one in electrical technology. So I have that sort of background and I had graduated from high school in 2006. So from the spring of 2006 until November 2007, I was in the trades field and I did a little bit of everything, some residential, commercial, as well as some low voltage and fiber optics and building data rooms. And then I actually became a military wife. I had married a boy from high school and he had been in the army and we had a couple of daughters and I didn't realize at that time because I was only 19 years old and you don't have the foreshadowing, but I actually had moved to Washington State and the hours didn't transfer to Washington from Connecticut. So I had to stop being in the field for a while. And that's when I felt like I had really given up on my dream. And I had been a little bit disappointed at first, but I also really loved being a mother. And there was just throughout the motherhood side of things, there was always that longing for wanting to accomplish my goal of being an electrician. It's just something that I've always been really passionate about and is always with being a very visual person, having the lighting layouts and everything else is a big deal. You know, with that being said, down the line, we had gotten a divorce and then I had found, my younger two children's father who we were together for about 8.5, 9 years. And, it was really great for a lot of the time, but at the end we weren't each other's person. And so what was really wonderful about our relationship was that we did really want to give our kids the best and we wanted to make sure that they were having a good childhood and were having their parents both be really happy. And so we decided to mutually split. And that had happened actually the last year. But I probably shouldn't even be talking about this.
I can edit it out if you want me to.
But it's real life, and people should hear it, you know, because we all do have the dirty and the messy areas of our lives.
It's a part of our story. All our stories always have, you know, curves, right? Curves. It's not, right. It's not dark and dirty. It's reality. It's all good. We all have them. Go ahead.
And it was all 2020. So it's great. nothing was predicted. That's for sure. But it kind of was in the 90s, but we won't go there. And so anyways, I had gotten the opportunity to be able to get back into the trades last year. At the beginning of the year, I had found out that my hours were still good from when I was an electrical apprentice in 2007 and 6. And I was elated to find out that news. And from the second that I found out the news, I was immediately like researching different companies that I might be interested in landing with. And one of the things that were huge for me is finding a company that took a lot of pride in their work and was very safety oriented and did all different areas and backgrounds of electrical, because I really wanted that well-rounded apprenticeship. And I didn't want to just be a residential or just a commercial or just a low voltage kind of a gal. I wanted to be able to experience a little bit of everything. And I don't need to be the best at every area, but even just having the knowledge of the different areas was a big deal for me getting back in. And, you know, with finding out that I had that 3,500 hours already accounted for and being able to reignite my dream to become an electrician, that was probably the most empowering thing that had happened to me. Like in that moment when I realized that I didn't just give up my dream, I just postponed it. And I was able to reignite that moment and really go for it. That just transformed everything. It transformed the outlook on all of that. And I didn't feel like that disappointment that we all put on ourselves as women and as people, and we don't feel like we accomplished something that we really wanted in life. And I never regret anything, because I feel like everything happens for a reason and we're all where we're supposed to be when we're there, and everything that we're supposed to have will come to us. And I'm a very firm believer in that, but there is always sometimes that little bit of a lingering, like I really wish that I was able to have accomplished that. And, I think that when you're a very determined person, it's even harder to like let that go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, I am a mom of four. During the 12-year gap that I wasn't in the trades, I was in an entrepreneur, and I actually was am a holistic practitioner. I had gotten certifications in a variety of different modalities, including my Reiki Master certification for Yasui Reiki. I have also set up many workshops for predominantly women and children as my clientele, mothers specifically, especially first-time moms. I like to help them navigate, and I really enjoy helping people network. And just in general, my classes that I do and my one-on-ones that I do for my clients, I like to really focus on empowering them and helping them really step into what makes them unique, because we live in a digital age where people feel like it's necessary to be like each other, and it's not necessary at all. And sometimes we forget how much value we have in our uniqueness. And so I like to rekindle that with women and kids, because kids feel that pressure too, especially with all these different social media platforms and everything else. So I like to do that. And I also really like to work with kids that have sensory processing struggles, because they're just so fascinating. They're always so different. And connecting with them in different areas and like helping them build sensory gardens and stuff like that is pretty cool. But I really love that whole side of things. And there was a couple of years where I actually had worked with Alzheimer's and dementia residents in a lockdown unit for, you know, a residential living space, and I got to be a recreation person, and I was totally cut out for that because it's just a ball of fun. It's not a career for me per se, but gosh, I loved it. And just putting a smile on all their faces was amazing. And they really taught me a lot of patience, which was fantastic. And just being able to be a part of that part of their lives was really wonderful for me. So I feel like, you know, with the journey of being a military wife for the first 5 years of my 20s, and then, you know, having my two daughters, and then being on my own as a single mother, and then having my other two with my ex, and us building a life together and still working as a team after, you know, he's making sure that the kids are doing their schoolwork and everything, and teaching them three different grades while I'm able to go into work and be in the trades. And so I'm very grateful for that. Despite any differences that we have, that is a fact. And it's one that I definitely want to recognize. Wasn't planning to on a podcast, but yeah, it's still a part of like the now.
No, and it's really important. I have the same relationship with my son's father. We both share the duties, and he was very helpful when I early on when I was having trouble finding childcare. It's really important for people to overlook those differences. I mean, just because the relationship didn't work out doesn't mean you got to fight like, you know, cats and dogs, they say. You have kids together, be civil, you know, raise the kids and be, you know, respect the other parent. That's going to teach them, you know, how to be in their relationships in the future. Right.
Well, and that's the biggest thing, Jill, is the one thing I've always wanted to teach my kids is how to have positive, healthy relationships, whether it's married or it's divorced or it's, you know, friendships. It's, they all matter. And me and him had agreed that our relationship wasn't going in a direction that was going to be able to do that all the time. And we both deserve to be very happy. And we also need to show our kids that you don't just stay together and you can, you know, find your person and thrive and be wonderful, wonderful friends.
Exactly.
That's the biggest goal.
Respect. And that, I think that's going to teach them respect in a lot of different ways too. Right.
So many.
All the way around. We could go on and on about that, but we should, you know, let's,
I know, let's stick to trades.
No, it's great to share your story. Right. And it shows that it can be done, because here you are returning to the trade with four kids and you've been out for 12 years, but we're going to talk more about that in a minute. I'm going to get to the questions if you don't mind.
Yes.
So how did you get started in the trades? I guess we've already answered that because you did it in high school, which is fantastic. Yeah. And we don't find that very much with women in the trades. We usually get, you know, overlooked. It's not offered to women in the trades, especially somebody like me that's been in the trade for 25 years, right? It was never offered to me at all. But it's great that you did. And you knew right away what you wanted to do. And then now I'm not surprised you're back. I love the trades. I don't even think I could have been out for 12. I don't know. But no, I'm glad you're back. I'm really glad you're back. So how far have you explored in the trade is the second question. So really you're on your journey. You're still going for your journeyman certification. But as I said earlier, we had a little chat earlier that was not recorded. I honestly think talking to you that you're foreman material or more, right? Foreman is just the beginning. Cause then there's GF, then there's supervisor. And if you do join a union, the IBEW in your area, you can go on to be like a business agent or a business manager and on and on and on. Right. I just became the first female in my local to be an elected official or an officer.
I heard that. Congratulations. An officer,
for the executive board. So I'm very excited for that. I can't wait to get started on that. So you never know where it's going to take you, but, I see foreman in your future for sure, just from our conversation. And we've never met before today.
No.
So I really, I'm excited.
Again, this is not. I know.
That was an accident. Two Jills with white shirts.
Two Jills, white shirts.
Yeah. Okay. So what is your favorite aspect of your trade? Now, I think you told me this earlier, but I wasn't recording. What's your favorite part of being an electrician?
My favorite part of being an electrician is, like many tradespeople, the final product. I love being at the breaking ground point and then seeing something that so many people had a hand in making as a team and multiple teams all together, sometimes working cohesively, sometimes struggling. But at the end of the project, you have this amazing building and, or any project really. And you just, you get to see it come alive and everybody gets to enjoy it in the end. And that's incredible. And it lasts for not even years. It lasts for generations. And it's just so wonderful. And I just, I think that there's so many different facets, especially, well, with all the trades, but I know electrical. And so for me, you know, electrical, there's so many different facets to it and there's endless learning. And I just think that anybody who has any sort of passion in being creative and building, and they're more of a kinesthetic learner and hands-on sort of a interest type of person instead of book smart, because book smart people are great too. There's so many people who feel like they need to be book smart and they need to go to college because that feels like it's the right way to go. It's the right thing to do, but it's not necessarily what they're passionate about. And so I think that it's so important to recognize when you're somebody who is passionate about something that's hands-on, and then considering the trades and thinking about like, ooh, which part of that would I like to be a part of? Because once you recognize that you have it in you to be a part of the trades, it really opens up the world. For example, my boyfriend, he has a son who's absolutely phenomenal. I love him to pieces. He's just got this brain for creating things and being into, he's really into YouTube. And so he wants to be a YouTube star. And he creates these videos that are absolutely fantastic. He's been working on his video editing, all of that. He likes to build different things in games and stuff. And I was talking to him, I was like, do you ever think about engineering or architect or coding or any sort of thing like that? And what's funny is like a lot of times people will knock kids or people who, you know, are on games, and that is something that I struggle with too. Like games for me is a struggle for, you know, things that had happened previously. But when you think about it, all these kids, like they have all these devices and stuff like that. So naturally they gravitate toward that. And it's something that they get passionate about. Mm-hmm. And so I just see all this amazing passion, like oozing out of him when he's creating these things.
Yeah.
And, but the thing of it is like all these different games that these kids are playing actually have applicable aspects to it that could be lifelong jobs that aren't a YouTube star or, you know, whatever else that's out there that's kind of more of like a fad thing, like real
problem solving,
heavy duty problem solving
and finding your way through a maze or whatever. I watched my son play Grand Theft Auto. As long as they don't drive like that in real life, all the other stuff I'm okay with. You know the map, you know your way around town, yay, you remember where you left that car. But please don't drive like that in real life.
Seriously. I know. It's like when a kid is bad for you at your house, but then they're great outside in public and you're like, I'll take it.
No, that's okay. That's okay. You're doing something right because they're comfortable at home and they're on their best behavior outside of the house, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's
so it's just really cool too, because you know, kids in general and adults too. Adults need to know, like, you need to be passionate about what you're doing and go for it if have an interest.
Right. And you, like you've said something that has been repeated on the other podcasts as well, of, you know, you never stop learning. And that is such it's always an interesting job. Like it never ends and it doesn't matter what trade you're in. And once you're in the trade, you and I were talking earlier about different aspects within that trade. Like for me, I like industrial work. I like to work on plant sites. I don't like to be outside so much, but I do like to, even new construction in a fab shop. I'm not, you know, there's other parts of the trade. I don't really like the structural part of it, but I like building vessels. I like the high pressure stuff and plant sites and interesting things. And I drive by and lots of tradespeople do this. Drive by and I know I work there and I work there and I work there. We talk about that all the time and it comes up all the time because there's such a sense of pride that you have, even if you don't say you work there, you know you work there, and you know what you did there is going to be there for hundreds or thousands. I mean, who knows how long it's going to be there? At least hundreds of years, unless they tear it down. You know, it's just that fabulous pride that you have in your work, and it's really a good thing. And I'm really glad that you're back in the trades. But I have another question for you, and we're probably going to go off on a tangent with this one, but that's
probably okay. Before you do that, though, I have to say that you could probably agree with me, and I'm sure many other people that watch this, who, if they're in the trades, then they can agree too. But you had just said something, and I was trying really hard to like not laugh, and I giggled a little. And the reason why I giggled is because I was thinking the reason why you don't say it every time is because you're not always having somebody else in the car. If you had somebody else in the car, you would.
I have a
job that I say to my kids, I was like, do you see that building? You see all those lights? I either put those lights in or I made them turn on.
But do your kids do the same thing as mine? Mom, I know you work there. Quit telling me.
You go grocery shopping.
Now they have earbuds, so they're not listening anyway. It doesn't matter. Half the time I'm talking to my son when we're driving down the street, and then I look over and I'm like, oh, you haven't heard a word I've said.
That's all right.
Okay, so next question. What obstacles have you overcome along the way? Now you took what did you call it, a vacation from the trades for a while, but it was because you had kids, right? And that is, it's quite a challenge for not just women in the trades, but for everybody in the trades. So I mean, how are you finding it now?
Well, I am, you know, newly on my own. You know, it's only been about 5 months, so it's been very interesting because, like navigating being a full-time mom, but then also like moving and getting us settled and having the kids and figuring out the schedule and, you know, winter and the holidays, it was all very interesting. But as far as things to navigate since being back in the trade, I guess, getting on my own feet after a separation was probably one of the harder things that I've had to deal with since getting back into the trade. Not that it was hard in a bad way. It was just hard.
It's an adjustment. You know? It's a change.
There's that transitional period. And luckily,
it's not just about you either. You've got four kids to manage as well, right? And figure everything out and everything. I mean, to me, it sounds like you worked it out quite well. Oh, where did you go there?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, here I am.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. So you've managed, you've worked out some arrangements for the kids in school so that you can go back on a full-time basis. So that's really good, but it's not a conventional way. You didn't throw them in childcare. They're not going to school right now because of COVID. I'm assuming you're the same situation that I am. Right. Yeah. So it's challenging. And I wish that childcare had a better setup because it's, you know, it's good that we do have family that can help us, but what if we didn't? Where would we be?
I don't have family. The only person that that is with the kids is my ex.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got his own stuff that he's going to be having coming up soon, and he's not going to be able to do that as much. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I don't have any family, and I don't really have people that I can necessarily trust or go to or bring the kids to at 5:15 in the morning or earlier. And so it really, childcare really is an issue for people that are in the trades. Cause there's some days every single morning, you know, you wake up really early. I wake up at 3:30, 4:00 every morning. And I think I'm answering one of your questions right now.
Day in your life. What does a day in the life look like?
So, you know, one of the way that my life goes is I wake up at like 3:30, 4:00 in the morning. I do a couple of chores, whether that's laundry or loaded dishes or putting pellets in the pellet stove. I take care of that, take a shower, have a cup of coffee, just do that morning routine sort of thing. Then I get the kids up and I get them out the door. I bring them over to dad's and I hop on and get to work. So I used to be able to be one of those people, well, the person that like gets to work way earlier than anybody else ever shows up, because that's just the way that I am. I still live in the era of, you're supposed to be at work at 6:30, then you're late if you get there at 6:25. Like, you need to be there by 6:15. Yeah. And so that's been an adjustment, is like figuring out that balance, because the kids aren't used to waking up early in the morning, and they don't wake up every day here. We have a split schedule. And so, you know, figuring out what time that is, and then also being on a variety of job sites, like the time that it takes for me to get to work is different. So like trying to figure out that balance is very interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that, then I work, and then, you know, go get the kids. It's that whole cycle of life, dinner, bedtime routine.
Yeah. It's mom fun, life. Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. In my podcast, I say, when I come home, I take my welding hat off and I put my mom hat back on, or my, and my spouse hat and my daughter hat and my friend hat, and you walk around with all these hats on, right? Sometimes it's a relief to go to work, because the world can just, I just want to be a welder for like the next 8 hours or 10 hours. Guys, I'll deal with you after work. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's tough. It's tough to balance it all. And I want to do a podcast with some tradeswomen. It does affect tradesmen as well. But the podcasts are usually about trailblazing tradeswomen. I want to do a podcast with a bunch of tradeswomen and just discuss childcare, because I think it is a huge issue across the board, no matter where you are in the country, anywhere in Canada, anywhere in the United States, it's still an issue. And this is just nonsense. We need to tackle this, get some help with it. All we have to do is have daycares open a little earlier. We're not even necessarily asking for government funding, which in Canada, they do like to throw things our way. So we'll take it if it's offered, for sure.
Right,
And the expense of it. Come on. Seriously? Oh,
the expense of it. Why am I working? That's one of the reasons why I didn't get back into it sooner too. Why? Especially when you have more than one kid, even. Like, one kid's expensive. Four kids.
I
should just start writing myself for 10 checks, because you know, the amount of money I save in childcare alone is like a sizable income.
That is. Yeah. I remember when my son was little, for a while there, I can't remember what age he was, it was $1,200 a month. I'm like, oh my God, there are people that is their income, is $1,200 a month.
Right.
And here I am just forking that out. And now I still have to pay rent. I mean, when, you know, when there's two parents and you split the cost, it's a little bit more helpful, but still, that's ridiculous. $1,200 a month.
It is.
But anyways, we have to do something about it.
And also, I think that we can both agree, like, if anybody that's in child care is watching, we're not knocking what you're making.
No, they're totally like, worth it.
It's literally just hard. It makes it very hard to survive, you know, the different regions of all of the world. Like, it needs to be it needs to reflect a living wage. Yeah. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know how we can fix it. Here government here is really trying to promote women in trades. So I think here we could get government funding for somebody that's in their apprenticeship at least, and see if maybe they can get subsidized childcare or something like that. Childcare is definitely, what would we do without it? It's worth every penny, but that's a lot of pennies.
It is a lot of pennies, and it's not a lot of range for hours.
Yeah.
You know, it really, and also not for nothing, but it isn't even just the trades, it's the second shift and the third shift workers too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there should be 24/7 childcare.
Well, and I've said that before.
And then it,
I've never heard of 24 hours a day, 24/7 childcare in Alberta. It might exist. I've never heard of it. In Ontario,
I never have either. I just felt like I came up with it.
No, in Ontario, apparently it's a thing. Because forget, we've got shift workers that are in the medical field, you know, like ambulance drivers and things like that. What do they do with their kids, right? So there is such a thing. I've never seen it. And I think it needs to either be brought back. But even in the very least, daycares can just open a little earlier. I mean, I don't want my son to be in childcare for 14 hours a day. I'm not talking drop him off at 5:30, pick him up at 8 o'clock at night. You know, that's too long of a day. But if I'm working an 8 or 10 hour shift and my shift starts at 6:30, but daycare doesn't open until 7:30 or 8, well, I can't work. So can you just match my shift? I don't think that's too much to ask, to be honest.
Right.
But I think putting all these videos and clips of these videos and the video I do with all the women talking about childcare together and presenting it, I hope will make a difference, because this battle, my son's 16.
Love to be a part of that.
Yes. I'm putting you on the list. You will definitely be there. Yes.
With the holistic practitioner side, I have a lot of the mindful living stuff that could definitely flow into that. And I love marketing. So
good.
That will help too.
Yes. No, that sounds wonderful. That sounds really good. Oh, okay. So here's another question for you. Did you have other women that you could look to for support? You did. You just tell
me.
Well,
I have you now.
Yes, you do. You do. And you have, I'm going to help you get a network in your area. I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
You either have to create one on Facebook or find one on Facebook, because we've got one in Alberta that is just amazing. But yes, and you can call or text me anytime.
Yeah. I haven't quite formulated, although LinkedIn is helping me connect with a lot of women in the trades the last couple of months. And so I look forward to those connections growing and to friendships and camaraderie and to different, you know, we can all connect with each other more. And so I am all ears. I am always willing to learn something new, and I'm always willing to help network. I love networking. If I don't know something, I like to know who does know things so that I can send people their way. And so, you know, that's the same with the trades. Like, there's so many of us, and I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
But there was one time I was on a job site. I had told you earlier, there was one time I was on a job site, and the girl's name just happened to be Jill, and she was in HVAC and plumbing. But, you know, I thought it was so funny that your nickname, so now I'll have to be Jill the electrician.
Yeah, I'm Jill the welder, you're Jill the electrician, she was Jill the HVAC girl. Yeah.
Yeah, HVAC plumber.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't happen often. I'm generally the only.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one of the things that I think helps us try to help get the word out there and get more females inspired into being a part of it, so that they're not having to feel that single female lifestyle in the trades world. Cause it is hard sometimes, admittedly, it is hard sometimes when the guys are like chatting it up, or they do things outside of work, or, you know, they exchange each other's phone numbers, not because they're needing to use their phone as a walkie talkie, but because they want to connect. And that doesn't happen with females. We don't do that. And if we did do that, and when we do that, if we do grow a friendship between us and another, you know, person in our trade, there's chatter, or there's like, you know, like, and that just doesn't happen when it's the guys, it's the guys, guys.
Yeah.
And so, I look forward to connecting more with networking with more women in the industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely find you a group down there. I mean, you're, like I said, you're welcome to join here. You can join Alberta Women in Trades if you want. But finding people in your area, I think, is good. And within your trade, like, I don't know a lot of women welders, but, it depends on how you look at it, because down in the States, all UA, tradespeople are welding is part of the plumbing and pipe fitting.
Yeah.
So up here, it's separate. I am only a welder. I'm not a plumber and a pipe fitter, although I know a fair amount about it, right? Being in the trades that long. But yeah, no, I think it's really important to be able to connect with somebody that's in your trade as well. So we'll get you a circle going. It'll happen.
Yeah.
We'll make sure of it. But there's always me. You can always come to the Alberta Women in Trades for sure. Facebook. You're like, you gotta let her in. Yeah, here's another.
Gotta let her in. It's Jill the electrician.
Jill the electrician. That is awesome. Okay, so I want to know if you have any advice for others that may be looking to get into the trade.
If you have passion, run with it. You know, anybody who's looking to get into the trades, if you're looking to get into it, why are you looking to get into it? What's drawing you into it? Are you sure you know which area you want to go into, or do you need to dabble in understanding what the options are? Because that's another thing. I'm in the electrical industry. I couldn't tell you how many other areas there are, and I'm sure it's pretty endless, because there are so many facets to each one of our trades. And so I feel like anybody who's interested or is a hands-on learner, go after getting into these, what they call blue collar industry, because the trades world really is for everyone. And it's amazing.
Yeah. And I think another thing too, that people don't consider, and there's such a stigma, there's such a negative stigma to joining the trades. I don't understand why, where that started or why it even happened, but it's a very good income. People think that it's terrible pay and that you're dirty and you're miserable and that, you know, plumbers
first couple of years.
Well, when you're learning, I mean, you do get dirty, but people like me, I like to get dirty. One of my favorite things was I didn't have to wear makeup or get dressed up in the morning. I threw on a t-shirt, jeans, hairs in a ponytail and a ball cap out the door. I didn't wear makeup at work. Forget it.
I totally wear loved mascara. I do. I love wearing mascara.
To each their own.
That's pretty much it.
To each their own. Yeah. I mean, to me, I was like, that was one of my most favorite things. And then I'd be like a girl like I am now. I'd do this on the weekend and people wouldn't recognize me. I could walk right past people that I work with. And if I didn't talk, my voice, they would recognize my voice. But if I didn't talk, they had no idea. Like I'd go to a union meeting looking like this. It'd be like, who's the chick?
Who is this? Yeah. Whose wife is that?
Yeah. Was it wife night?
Who's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, hey guys. And they're like, whoa, how'd you get her voice?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. I know you. Like, mentioned something that happened at work and they're just like, what? But there's a lot of fun in the trades, a lot of camaraderie. There's a lot of fun that we have in the trades, but the pay, I never used to mention the pay, but I think if we start mentioning how good the pay is, it'll bring a lot of people, male and female, out of situations of low income or poverty. You know, like I know you have four kids. I have one kid, you know, having a job like we do, we get benefits. We get that income where we can spoil our kids just a little bit more. We can give them those nice things and those holidays working in the trades. So, I mean, why would you not work in the trades? I was a waitress before. I didn't make much money and I knew I didn't want to do that. I couldn't imagine having a kid and living on that wage. I would be, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, and that's no place to be. You have to build it up. And in the trades, you know, every year, every level that you increase is more and more money. And then when you get to journeyman, you can still become foreman like you will be, I'm sure, someday, or GF or supervisor or BA, business manager, whatever you want to be. You can still keep going and that income rises.
Right.
There you go.
So. Well, and that's one of the things too. I don't know if people recognize, but like, sure, sometimes it doesn't look as exciting as other pays might. But here's the thing. Are you looking at what you can be making now or what you think you might make when you're done with college? And how often do people really follow through with what they think they're going to do after college? How often do they get the jobs, especially right now? Like the trades industry needs more bodies and they need more female and male bodies.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that's not going away. And, you know, during the apprenticeship, I'm not sure how they do it in Canada, but here, at least in Connecticut, the way that they do it is you get a 5% increase. It's every 1,000 hours, I believe. You go up 5% to it.
Nice.
So you start out at a certain percentage. I'm not sure what you start out as. I'm at like 75 or 80% of what a journeyman makes. And so if you're non-union, like I am, I'm non-union, then depending on who you were with a company, whether they pay the bottom of the scale for a journeyman level for that state or province. I'm not sure if it works like that for you guys, or if they pay, you know, higher, you're getting 80% normally of what like the median pay is that they do. Yeah. They normally figure out like the median of what they pay their journeyman normally. And then you get like a percentage of that. But the thing that's cool with the apprenticeship is you're not paying to go to school. You're literally getting paid to learn, and you're gaining that career. And when you start young, when you start fresh out of high school, you really open up the doors to being a homeowner, to setting yourself up financially, to gaining a career, to then moving on to so many different levels and facets to your industry by the time you're 30. And it's fascinating that it's not talked about more. It's very interesting. And I think that it is starting to gain a little traction.
It is gaining traction. And what I say is I don't diss people that do go to college, and I know you aren't either.
No, not at all.
We do need those people as well. But we do see a lot of people that join the trades later in age, have already been there, done that, and they've got this huge student loan. And we don't have that student loan, right? That just doesn't happen for us. I mean, when I went to school, I didn't have to pay for school. It was just part of, you know, Alberta trades. I didn't have to pay for my school, and we have employment insurance that we get to sit on as a student for the time we're in school. For us, what we do is first year. So welding is a 3-year trade. First year, I'm making 60% of the journeyman rate. Second, I'm making 75%. Third year, I'm making 90% of the journeyman rate. If I was working non-union, that rate of pay would depend on the shop. As union, it's a set rate. Everybody that's a journeyman makes that rate, and then you figure out your percentage likewise. And we have to work 1,560 hours per year before you get bumped up to the next level. So you go to school for only 2 months per year. So I take 2 months off. I take my first year of schooling, my first, I can't think of the word.
Quarter?
Well, it's thirds. For year one, I take my year one of schooling, and then I take year two schooling, work for a year, take third year, and then I get my certification. These are mine behind me. The single one right here is mine. A Red Seal endorsement in Canada means that my ticket is recognized across the country. The two middle ones are my dad's. He's a pipe fitter, steam fitter, and a welder. And then this is my grandpa and great grandpa here. But anyways, it's a 3-year thing. It is a lot different in every province here. It's different in every state down there. It's different. It's different if you're union, it's different if you're non. So really, I mean, if somebody is getting into the trade, they have to look into their trade, but you can find all that stuff out online. And that's the handy thing. You don't even have to pick up the phone. It's all online. Right.
So that's the amazing part of technology nowadays. And the thing is, really, none of us has any excuse for being ignorant to what's out there, because it's all literally in our pockets in the phone. So everybody has access to all of the information of the world and the stuff that doesn't exist too. And, it's incredible that we have that luxury now. I mean, think about it. Even when I was in high school, like 2006, that whole area, my phone's dying. But in that area, we didn't really have computers as glorified, and they were just kind of like, I don't know, they were kind of breaking out in the 90s and 2000s. You remember Y2K?
Yes, I do. I do. I went and I spent that night with my grandma New Year's Eve because I wanted to make sure she was okay. Because we all thought computers were going to crash and it was the end of the world and no electricity. I was like, "Hey, grandma, I'm going to come and spend New Year's Eve with you." Nothing happened.
Nothing happened. 21 years later, still here.
Still here.
Thriving.
Yes. Yeah. Craziness. Anyways, I know your phone's dying. So now my cat's got to bother me. Never happens. Two Jills, two white shirts. It's a weird night. So I'm going to give you final remarks. If there's anything that I haven't shared that you want to share, please, the floor is yours.
Oh, geez. Oh, what I want to share. I think that, I wasn't expecting that. Okay. So final remarks. That's a really good question. You know what? I think that, well, first of all, I want to say thanks for having me, and it's always a pleasure chatting with you. And I really enjoy our conversations. And like I had said to you before, I've never met a Jill that I didn't love and didn't find exceptional. So I'm glad I got to meet you.
Feelings and, mutual. Yeah. We'll have more conversations.
Yeah, we'll have more conversations over coffee via phone, of course.
Yes. Yes.
And so I'm really grateful for tonight and you helping me get a little bit of my story out there. And I did overshare a little bit in my personal life. And generally, when I tell a story that has to do with my personal life, there's somebody out there that needed to hear it because it was going to help them. And I never understand why I say what I say. Being a holistic healer, there's a lot of times that my intuition ends up just going on about things, and my guides helped me do that for reasons I don't know. And so I think that the reason why I needed to share what I shared tonight was because there's another mom out there that might have a similar situation or story, and it's going to help her grow, and it's going to help her feel inspired. And so that's what I'm hopeful for. And I hope that, you know, people give all of your podcasts to listen to, because I absolutely love listening to them. I was listening to them earlier, and, you know, I had told you, but, you know, it's so easy to listen to your voice, and it's so easy to listen to the conversations that you have with the other tradeswomen. And it's just absolutely incredible. And I am so grateful. And I really look forward to chatting more about the daycare side of things and helping with all that. I would love to make radical change in that area.
Yes, we will. We're one step at a time. It'll start with the podcast. It'll start with a few voices, and then it'll get bigger and bigger. And thank you for all the kind words. I'm glad you're enjoying the podcast. I'm still very new at it. I just started it I don't even know. My first release was less than 2 months ago. So.
Well, you're doing great.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's exciting. And I really, you know, to me, you talk about kind of feeling that you're drawn to certain things. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. I feel like there's a need. There's a need for this. And now that I'm here for 20 years, well, when I was at my 20-year mark in the trades, this is when it all kind of started. Why aren't you sharing your story and come and talk to here? And can you come and speak at this event? And can you come and do this? And we'd love to have a female instructor. You've got 20 years experience. All this stuff started happening, and I'm like, why is this happening? I was a little irritated at first when people were coming to me with their problems and leaning on me, and I'm like, hey, I got stuff to do. I got to work. I don't have time. And I was like, there's a reason for this. So I'm just going to let it flow. And this is what it became. And Trailblazers Inc. I just started this year, September-ish. And now it's evolving in its own way too. Now I have a fundraiser for helping women that are struggling to afford tools and equipment and workwear. If that's that's holding them back.
Definitely send me the link to that. I'd love to help you fundraise that.
It's on the website. So I'll send you a link to the website, and then you can find the GoFundMe and the podcasts and all the craziness.
So put it in the link below.
I have to learn how to do that right here. I don't know how they do that. I have a lot to learn. You know, it's really funny. I was just saying to somebody, I need to hire somebody to help me with these podcasts. My intro and my exit, I am not happy with. I want to improve it. There's so many things I want to improve, the website, Facebook, all that stuff. And I was walking around the house talking on the phone, and I was saying to my friend, you know, I need some help with this stuff. It just takes me so long to put stuff together. And I look over and I look at my son, and I'm like, he's always asking me, hey, mom, can I have $20? I'm going to hire him. He's already helped me with a bunch of stuff. That was like a week ago. I'm like, what was I thinking? Hire the kid.
Yeah, exactly. Then your money's going to something.
Well, and
it's just going to his pocket.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll have to get him
something out of it too.
He needs to write me some receipts so I can write off his work. But, but I'm teaching him how to weld. He's going to be our fifth generation. So we'll just swap skill. I'll teach you how to do that. You teach me how to do this in YouTube or whatever, because I don't know.
I know. The kids are amazing with that. I'm so proud of them. They're amazing. Yes.
Speaking of coding, my son was coding I think he was 7 or 8 when he started coding. I was like, oh my God. He's really amazing on that stuff. He won't admit it, but he's really amazing. I try not to talk about him on the podcast, but
I know.
He's my world.
I know what you mean. I know. Did you say Will? His name's Will?
No, he's my world.
Oh, no. I thought you said Will.
His name is Zach. So it's Zach and Jill, not Jack and Jill, Zach and Jill.
I almost named my son Jack, and then I was like, that would be a bad idea.
Really like the name Jackson.
Me too.
Yeah, but we can't. Is bad enough, right?
I know.
People usually say my name first. So it's Jill and Zach. So it's not like.
It doesn't get noticed as easily.
I won't be here forever. He doesn't call me by my name anyway, right?
I'm mom.
That's right. Yeah. His name is just Zach too, but that's how he knows if I'm mad, because I call him Zachariah or Zachary. And then he's like, I'm in trouble.
I took the trash out yesterday.
Yeah. Actually, he's supposed to be doing that right now.
See? I don't know how my intuition knows these things.
You know,
but
that.
I know them.
We're like connected today. Totally.
I know, for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah. We didn't even call this in.
I know.
It was an accident.
Anyways, I almost wore a necklace too, but I didn't.
I changed because I just got this friend just sent this to me. This is a trade necklace. These are all this. There's a wrench, a hard hat, and like gloves and glasses. I love it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. This UA goddess I know sent it to me. So yes, I have lots of gifts from the UA goddesses that I know. So
I want to learn more about that. That sounds intriguing.
Yes. It's yeah. We lean on each other. It's a real cute. Great.
I love that.
A great circle of friends that I have. They're wonderful. If you're listening, I love you guys. Okay. Well, I'm going to shut down the podcast, but I want you to stay on. I know your phone's dying, so we got to be quick and make sure that we,
that's okay. We got time.
Okay. Anyways, thank you so much for joining me. What did we start talking, like 2 days ago, yesterday?
I know.
It's
like
crazy.
Decades, yeah. Really. Yeah.
It's nice to know another Jill in the trades. It's really you awesome. Too. Thank you so much for joining the podcast tonight. And we will see you again for the childcare podcast.
Awesome.
All right. You have a good night. Bye
you
now.
You too. Bye.